suit, and I'm not going for a ride.
I like how you look in the suit, but you'll be more comfortable on the bike in jeans.
He tucked a thumb in his front pocket, leaned a hip against the counter.
It's a nice night. Neither of us have anything booked, so we'll take a ride, clear your head. I'll buy you dinner.
I'm not getting back on that motorcycle.
You're not afraid of the bike, or of having dinner with me.
It's not a matter of fear, but preference. He smiled.
Prove it. Here's the deal. You take the ride, have dinner, casual public place. I bring you home. If you don't have fun, or at least enjoy the change of pace, I back off, all the way.
This time, the look was regal, and just a little amused. I don't need to negotiate to get you to back off, Malcolm.
You're right about that.
He waited a beat while their eyes stayed locked.
So why haven't you backed me off?
Good question, she thought. She might as well figure out the answer. A ride, a casual meal, that's it.
That's the deal.
I'll go change. She did something for him, Malcolm thought as he scrawled, "You still owe me a dance," on the notepad. He wasn't altogether sure what it was she did, but it was something. He wanted his hands on her, no question, but Parker Brown wasn't the jump-in, roll-around, then roll-off type. Added to that, he valued his friendship with her brother. He walked out of the kitchen, wandered the first floor. If he considered Parker an easy bang, and acted on it, he'd fully expect Dell to kick his ass, or try to. Reverse positions, he'd do exactly the same, and that was one of the reasons he valued the friendship. He poked into what he figured they called, due to the big-ass piano, the music room. The misty watercolors shimmering on the walls were undoubtedly originals, and nice enough, but the collection of instruments in a fancy glass case caught his interest. Guitar, violin, various flutes, maybe a piccolo, a concertina, a drum, harmonica, what he thought was a dulcimer, a cowbell, bongos, and a few things he couldn't readily identify. If it hadn't been locked, he doubted he'd have resisted the urge to open the cabinet and try out a couple of instruments just to see how they sounded, to see how they worked. And, he supposed, that was why he didn't consider Parker a casual bang. He had this urge to open her up, see how she worked. Rich girl. Wealthy woman, he corrected. With exceptional looks, the pedigree, the connections, the smarts. And she worked as hard, maybe harder than anyone he knew. She could have coasted on her very fine ass, jetting off for drinks in Mallorca, sailed the Aegean to sun those amazing legs, sipped wine in a Parisian cafe between shopping sprees. Instead, she'd founded a business with childhood pals that kept her running around at other people's beck. He wandered to the piano, improvised a few chords. Not for the money, he decided. He didn't get the greed vibe from her. Money would be a result, a practicality of business, but not the essential ingredient. He knew what it was like when money was the essential. Satisfaction played a role, but there had to be more. He wanted to figure it out. He sensed her, a little heat along the skin, and looked up to see her in the doorway. And oh yeah, he wanted his hands on her. She wore jeans as well as she wore her woman-in-charge suits. Her boots had short, skinny heels. She wore a bright red shirt under a thin leather jacket, the color, like the boots, of dark chocolate. Silver hoops glinted on her ears. Classy biker babe? He wondered. No, just classy. You play?
Me?
He shrugged.
No, I just mess around. That's some collection.
Yes, my father's mostly. He had absolutely no musical talent and so admired those who did.
Dell plays a mean piano, especially after a couple beers. How about you?
Piano, violin, with or without beer. The dulcimer.
I thought that's what that was. What's this one?
She walked to the case as he tapped the glass toward a small, key-shaped instrument. A trump or jaw harp. You hold it against the teeth or the lips and pluck. Simple, effective, and very old.
Is that a piccolo?
No, that's a soprano flute. That's a piccolo. I can get the key for the case.
No, that's okay.
He wondered idly where people came up with names like piccolo or saxophone.
I just like knowing what I'm looking at. Plus, if you opened it, I'd just want to play with everything and we wouldn't get to that ride.
He shifted so instead of shoulder to shoulder, they stood face to face.
Maybe by the end of it, I'll figure out what I'm looking at.
She stepped back. It's not that complicated.
You're not doing the looking. Ready?
She nodded, led the way out. On the way, she picked up a purse with a long strap and slipped it on cross-body.
One thing I know about you, you think things through.
He tapped the bag with his finger.
Getting on a bike, need your supplies, so you put them in something you can hang on instead of hang on to. Smart. I like smart.
He opened the door, holding it until she'd walked through. I like practical. That's not practical. She gestured toward the bike.
Sure it is. It gets me where I'm going, gets good gas mileage, and can fit in small spaces for parking.
I'll concede those points. I doubt it feels practical through a Connecticut winter.
Depends.
He walked down to unstrap a helmet.
Before you get on,
he said as he handed it to her.
And in the interest of fair play, I've got a bet going.
A bet?
With Dell. Jack and Carter wanted in on it. I bet Dell $100 I'd get you back on the bike.
Her eyes, he noted, neither heated or frosted. They just narrowed a fraction. Is that so?
Yeah. Dell figured no way in hell. Jack's with him on it, so I've got two on the line. Carter put his $100 on me.
She turned the helmet in her hands. You're telling me this after I've agreed to take this ride, but before I actually take it. Meaning, I can toss this helmet in your face and tell you to go to hell.
Yeah.
She nodded again. Carter can keep his full winnings, but I want half of yours, Dell's $100 specifically. She put the helmet on.
Fair enough.
Grinning, he swung onto the bike. He didn't have to tell her to hold on this time, he noted, and with her arms wrapped around his waist, he roared off. Maybe her heart thundered, especially on the curves, but Parker couldn't deny she enjoyed the sensation. Neither could she deny if she hadn't wanted to be there, she wouldn't be. Curiosity, she thought. Now she'd satisfied the curiosity. Yes, streaking down the road, punching through the wind, was just as thrilling as it had been on her initial brief ride. It didn't mean she'd make a habit of it, but she appreciated being able to file the experience under things accomplished. Almost as much as she appreciated winning the $100 from Dell. Served him right. Since she was in the process of admissions, she had to admit it had been damn perceptive of Malcolm to calculate her reaction. Then again, maybe he'd banked on his own dubious charm to persuade her to keep the deal. Though she couldn't see the point of that. Safer to have said nothing. And wasn't that the point, she realized. He wasn't the type to take the safe choice. The hell with it, she decided. She'd enjoy the experience before filing it away. That enjoyment climbed several levels when she realized he zigged and zagged his way toward the water. She caught the scent of it, damp and tinged with salt. She watched the sun flood its evening light over the sound, glint and glimmer over the bumps of Calf Island, catch in the rippling white sails of pleasure boats. And all the while the machine growled under her, vibrating with power. Obligations, schedules, duties shed from her mind and blew away like feathers in the wind. The thunder of her heart throttled back to a steady, relaxed beat as she watched gulls soar and dip. If the phone in her bag rang, she didn't hear it, didn't give it a thought. She lost track of the time, noting only the softening of the light and the air as he doubled back. He slowed as they cruised into Old Greenwich. Tourists and locals mingled on the busy main street, drawn by the shops and restaurants, the easy distance to the shore. But the bustle didn't diminish the neighborhood feel. He turned off the main, putting with traffic before swinging into a minuscule parking spot. He pulled his helmet off as he turned to look at her.
Hungry?
I guess I am.
I know a place here that serves the best pizza in Connecticut.
Then you haven't tasted Mrs. G's.
Maybe I'll get lucky there, but in the meantime, you can let go now.
Oh. A little flustered, she hadn't realized she still had her arms around him. She pulled back,
climbed off. He hooked the helmets on the bike.
It's not far, just enough to stretch it out a little before we eat.
I don't mind a walk, she began, then flipped open her purse at the signal. Sorry, that's voicemail. I'd better check.
How many?
He asked when she muttered a curse under her breath.
Three.
Do they ever give you the night off?
It happens. Rarely, but it happens. People planning a wedding or a big event like an important anniversary, it becomes their world for a while. Every idea or problem or decision can take on enormous magnitude. She started to slip the phone back into her bag, thinking she'd duck into the restroom first chance and handle whatever she could.
Go ahead and do the callbacks.
That's all right, it can wait for a bit.
You'll be thinking about them and thinking how to duck a way to deal with them. Might as well just do it.
I'll make it quick. He slowed the pace to a saunter, listening while she spoke to someone named Gina about Chiffon versus Taffeta. They agreed Parker would meet her to check out both samples. Then she discussed a Cinderella coach with a Mrs. Seaman. Parker promised to arrange one as she pulled out a notepad and wrote down the specifications. Finally, she assured somebody named Michael that both he and his fiancée, Vince, still had time to learn swing dance, and rattled off the name and number of a dance instructor.
Sorry, she said to Malcolm as she slipped the phone back into its pocket.
And thanks.
No problem. Okay, I don't care about Chiffon or Taffeta, or the difference in weight and sheen, but where the hell do you get a Cinderella coach outside of Disney?
You'd be surprised what you can get, especially if you have the right resources, and in this case, a virtually unlimited budget. Mrs. Seaman, that's Seaman Furniture, wants her daughter to arrive and depart in a Cinderella coach? I'll make that happen. After I check with the bride to make sure that's what she wants.
Got it. Now, why do Michael and Vince need to swing dance?
They're getting married in February and finally decided on a big band era theme. They're wearing zoot suits and spats. He took a moment to absorb it.
You're not kidding.
No, and I happen to think it'll be fun. So naturally they want to swing, and particularly well for their first dance.
Who leads? That's a serious question,
he said when she gave him a bland stare.
Somebody has to.
They can flip a coin, I suppose, or leave it to the instructor. I think Vinny, because Michael's the one who's worried about it, and Vinny's pretty gung-ho.
Then maybe... Wait a minute, February? Is it Vinny Calderone?
Yes, do you know him?
Yeah, knew him when we were kids. My ma's friendly with his. When he heard I moved back, he came to see me. I service his Mercedes. He said he was getting married in February, said he'd get me an invite.
Were you close?
Not especially.
He glanced at her, then decided to finish it out.
He was getting the shit beat out of him back in the day. It looked to me like he'd have held his own one-on-one, but there were two of them. I evened the odds. And I was right, he held his own. Vinny's wearing a zoot suit.
His grin spread with easy humor.
I can actually see that.
You got into a fight for him?
Not for him especially. It was more the two-against-one deal. Beating somebody up because he's gay is ignorant. Ganging up to do it? That's cheap. Anyway, it only took a few minutes. This is the place.
She stared at him another moment, then turned to look at the restaurant. Despite its situation on the inlet, it was little more than a hole in the wall with faded clapboard siding.
It doesn't look like much, but...
It looks fine, and I'm in the mood for pizza.
That makes two of us.
Chapter 6. They knew him, Parker noted, when a couple of the staff called him by name. The pizzeria may have been small and on the shabby side, but the scents circulating in the air from the open kitchen and the jammed tables told her Malcolm knew his pizza. They squeezed into a table preset with paper placemats depicting Italian landmarks.
You want to steer clear of the Chianti,
Malcolm told her,
but you can get a pretty decent carafe of cab.
That'll work. A waitress bopped over. She had improbable red spiky hair and a nose as perky as her breasts. She might have been just old enough to order the cab for herself.
Hey, Mal.
How's it going, Kaylee?
Oh, you know.
She slid her gaze toward Parker and away again, but the glance lasted just long enough to show Parker the disappointment and miff.
Get you a drink?
The lady'll have the cab. You can bring me a Coke. Luigi's tossing tonight?
You got it. You want your usual?
We'll think about it.
Okay, I'll get your drinks.
Parker cocked an eyebrow as the girl walked off. She's got a crush on you. He leaned back, leather jacket open, a dazed scruff on his face, green eyes lit with cocky humor.
What can I say? Women flock to me.
She'd like to break the carafe of cab over my head.
Maybe.
He leaned forward again.
She's 17, just started her first year at community college. She wants to be a fashion designer, or a songwriter, or...
There should always be ors at 17, and crushes on older men.
Did you have one?
She shook her head, not in denial, but amusement.
No wine for you? I made a deal with my mother back when I was about a year younger than Kaylee. For every beer or its like I drank, I had to wait an hour once I finished it before I got behind the wheel.
You drank beer at 16?
If I could get it, sure. And knowing there was the possibility, she laid down the law. If I wanted the wheels, I had to make the deal.
A lot of teenagers make deals they don't keep or intend to keep.
In my world, if you make a deal, you keep the deal.
She believed him and appreciated it, as that had been true in her world as well. And now that you provide your own wheels?
Doesn't apply. A deal's a deal for the duration.
Did you decide what you want to order?
Kaylee set the Coke in front of Malcolm and managed to place the carafe and wine glass in front of Parker without making eye contact.
Not yet.
He started to pull one of the laminated menus out of its holder. What's your usual? Parker asked.
Pepperoni, black olives, hot peppers.
Sounds good.
Okay, have Luigi toss us a large, will you, Kaylee?
Sure, Mal. We've got those zucchini fritters you like tonight if you want a starter.
That'd be great. We'll share an order.
Parker waited until the girl walked away. Does she get her heart broken every time you come in here with a woman?
I don't generally bring women here. I tend to go for something a little more on the quiet side, on a date.
This isn't a date, she reminded him. It's a deal.
Right.
He reached over for the carafe, poured her a glass. She sipped the wine, nodded approval. It's good, and hopefully contains no arsenic. So, your father was military.
Yeah, I was an army brat until I was 8, and he was killed in El Salvador.
It's hard to lose a parent, and so young. His eyes met hers in a moment of shared loss.
Hard any time, I'd say.
Yes, any time. Your mother moved back here to Greenwich.
You get a pension, a flag, and some medals. They do what they can do, but she had to work. Her brother has a restaurant, you probably know that.
Some. I don't know your uncle or his wife particularly well.
You're not missing much from my point of view. He worked her like a dog, and she was supposed to be grateful for the roof he put over our heads. And she was. She...
When he trailed off, Parker gave him a moment of silence. How's your mother doing on the computer?
Coming along. Thanks, Kaylee,
he added when the girl set the appetizer and two small plates on the table.
Luigi says to say hi before you go.
Will do.
The first time I met your mother, Parker continued, she was cursing the computer and not very happy with you for making her use one.
That was before she figured out how to play computer Scrabble. She just bought a laptop so she can play at home.
Parker sampled the zucchini. These are good. She took another bite. Excellent, in fact.
It's a little low market for your clients,
Malcolm commented when she scanned the restaurant. Not necessarily. It could be a fun, casual location for a smaller, more laid-back rehearsal dinner. Also a nice suggestion for out-of-town wedding guests looking for local flavor and good casual food. Family-owned is always a nice touch.
How do you know it's family-owned?
It has that feel, plus it says so right on the front of the menu.
Talk to Luigi. He owns the place.
I might do that. So, how did you go from doing stunt work in L.A. to owning a garage in Greenwich?
Is this small talk, or are you interested?
It can be both.
Okay. A gag went south, messed me up. Some bean counter cut corners, and the equipment was faulty, so they paid me off.
How messed up?
Broke a lot of bones, bruised a few organs, sliced some skin.
He shrugged, but Parker didn't buy it had been that simple, that casual. It sounds serious. How long were you in the hospital?
Put me out for a while.
He continued in that same careless tone.
By the time I got back on my feet, the lawyers had duked it out. I had a nice chunk of change and decided I'd had enough of jumping off buildings and crashing into walls. I had enough for my own place, and that was always the goal anyway.
And you don't miss it? Hollywood, the movie business? He gestured with a zucchini before eating it.
It ain't what it looks like in your neighborhood Cineplex legs.
No, I don't suppose it is. And I wish you wouldn't call me that.
Can't help it. Got planted in my head that day you and Emma played soccer at her parents' big bash.
Cinco de Mayo. I have a perfectly good name.
It's Spider-Man's name.
She smothered a laugh. His name's Peter.
Stranger that it's Spider-Man's last name. I worked on those movies.
You worked with Tobey Maguire on the Spider-Man movies? What was... She narrowed her eyes. I bet you use that sort of connection to score with women all the time.
It's an angle.
He smiled as Kaylee set the pizza on its holder. Anything else I can get you?
We're good, Kaylee, thanks.
The zucchini was wonderful, Parker told her, and got a quick shoulder jerk. I'll let them know you liked it. She'll always hate me. Parker sighed. So the pizza better be worth the harsh thoughts that must be clouding my aura.
The hot peppers will clear that aura right out.
We'll see about that. Have you always been interested in cars and mechanics?
Like I said, I like knowing how things work. The next step is keeping them working. Have you always been interested in weddings?
Yes. I liked everything about them, so the next step is helping create them.
Which involves being on call pretty much around the clock.
It can. And you don't want to talk about weddings.
You don't want to talk about cars.
He lifted a slice, slid it onto her plate. No, but I'm always interested in business. Let's try something else. You mentioned you lived in Florida. Where else?
Japan, Germany, Colorado.
Really?
I don't remember Japan, and I'm fuzzy on Germany.
He took a slice for himself.
The first place I really remember is Colorado Springs. The mountains, the snow. We were there for a couple of years, but I always remember the snow. The way I always remember the smell of that bush outside my window in Florida.
He took a bite of pizza, angled his head.
You gonna try it or not?
Judging it cool enough not to singe the roof of her mouth, she sampled. Nodded.
It's fabulous, really.
She took another testing bite. But I have to give Mrs. G's the edge and consider this the second best pizza in Connecticut.
Looks like I have to talk Mrs. Grady out of a slice of pie to see if you're being honest or stubborn.
I can be both, depending on mood and circumstances.
Let's try out the mood and circumstances on honest. Why'd you come out with me?
We made a deal. He shook his head, studying her over his slice.
Might be a factor, but it's not why.
She considered, took a sip of wine. You irritated me.
And you go out with guys who irritate you?
I did this time. And you made it kind of a dare, which pushed the next button. Lastly, I was curious. Those are the various factors that make up the whole, and the reason why I'm sitting here enjoying this very superior pizza instead of... Oh, hell. She yanked out her ringing phone.
Go ahead, we can get back to it.
I hate people who talk on cell phones in restaurants. I'll be right back. She scooted out, snaked her way through the door. Hi, Justine, give me 1 minute. He didn't mind watching her walk away, he decided as he topped off her wine. The jeans were a damn good fit. Kaylee set another Coke in front of him, whisked the other away. You looked like you needed a refill.
Good timing. How are you liking college?
It's okay. I really like my art class. Anyway, who's your friend?
Her name's Parker.
Is she a doctor or a cop?
No, where'd that come from?
My dad says the only people who should answer cell phones in a restaurant are doctors and cops.
He glanced at the cell phone peeking out of her apron pocket.
How many texts have you sent on that tonight?
Kaylee flashed a smile.
Who counts? I guess she's pretty.
You'd guess right. Any more trouble with your carburetor?
No, whatever you did worked. It's running great, but it's still a million years old and puke green.
It's 5 years old,
he corrected.
But it is puke green. If you can talk your dad into it, I know a guy who'll give you a good deal on a paint job.
Yeah?
She brightened.
I'll start working on him. Maybe you could... She broke off, lost her glow. Your friend's coming back in.
Kaylee turned back toward the kitchen. Not quite a stalk, Malcolm noted, but close. Amused, he gave his attention to Parker as she sat back down.
Chiffon, a tango emergency? Somebody want to ride into the wedding on a camel?
I talked a groom out of a chariot once, and it wasn't easy. I could deflect a camel. Actually, one of our October brides just learned her father's in Vegas, where he eloped with a gold-digging bimbo bitch, her phrase, he left her mother for.
Happens.
Yes. The divorce became final just this week, so he didn't waste any time, which also happens. The new bride is 24, 2 years younger than the daughter.
Adds an ouch to the equation.
It certainly does, and it also happens, Parker put in. But add up all those it happens, and it's tough to swallow.
Sure, and still probably tougher on the first wife than the daughter.
Though she hadn't finished the first slice, he slid a second onto Parker's plate.
What did she want you to do about it?
She doesn't want either of them at the wedding. Doesn't want him giving her away as planned. She'd been prepared to tolerate the aforementioned gold-digging bimbo bitch as her father's guest, but she'll be damned if she'll have her there as his wife. Her, too bad a word to say in public, stepmother. Or lording her new status over the bride's still-devastated mama.
I've got to give her points on all that.
Yes, she's perfectly justified, and if that's the way she really wants it to be, that's the way we'll make it be. She washed down pizza with wine. The problem is she loves her father, despite his questionable judgment and the distinct possibility he's suffering from male midlife insanity.
Hey, we're not the only ones who get it.
You get it more often and generally with more severe symptoms. Despite, she repeated, she loves him. And I'm afraid not having him walk her down the aisle will mar the day for her more than the GBB. And when she forgives him, and she will, down the road, she'll always regret the decision.
Is that what you told her?
I told her the day is hers, hers and David's, and whatever she wants or doesn't want, we'll work it out. And I asked her to take a day or two to be sure.
You think she'll opt for Dad?
I do. And if I'm right, I'll follow up with a private and very pointed chat with the GBB regarding protocol and behavior at a vows event.
You'll scare the shit out of her.
I'll do no such thing, Parker said with a small smile.
And you'll enjoy it.
She took a deliberately delicate bite of pizza. That would be petty and unattractive.
Every minute of it.
She laughed. Yes, I will.
It gives us a little more common ground.
How's that?
I figure if you've got to take someone down or set them straight, you might as well enjoy it on some level. I heard you took Mac's weird mother down a while back.
And I don't consider feeling a lot of satisfaction from it, petty or unattractive. She had it coming. How did you hear about that?
Guys talk, too. Dell's got a sweet spot for his macadamia, and having her screwed with by her mother burned his ass. Plus, I'd handled her not that long before, so I knew some of the score.
That's right, when Mac had her car towed. She sighed happily. Good times. So I imagine Linda was very annoyed when she came into your garage to get it back.
That's one way to put it.
She nibbled more pizza, eyeing him, then shook her head. Okay, dish it out. All I heard was you told her she couldn't have the car until she paid the towing and storage fee, and she went on one of her rants.
That's about it. She's got a hell of a rant. She tried to dump it all on Mac, but that didn't play for me, especially since I had some of the background from Ma.
Your mother knows Linda?
Knew plenty about her, and my mother's a solid data source. Even without it, I'd have gotten the picture pretty quick. Still, bottom line, I towed the car, I get paid.
He gestured with his Coke.
She moved from rant to wheedle. You know, couldn't I please help her out, do her this little favor? The best part of the show was when she offered to pay the charges with personal services.
She... Oh, God.
First time I've been offered a blowjob for a towing fee.
Stunned speechless, Parker only stared at him.
You asked?
Yeah, I did. Even if Mac ever does, don't tell her that part.
She already asked, and I didn't. Why would I? Her mother embarrassed herself. That's got nothing to do with Mac.
No, it doesn't, but a lot of people don't see it that clearly. He did, she realized. For whatever reason, he saw it with absolute clarity. She's taken a lot of hits over the years for Linda's actions. Linda will ruin or at least take some shine off Mac's wedding if she can.
She won't.
He shrugged and ate.
What Mac doesn't handle, Carter will. What they don't, you will.
I'm going to remember that the next time I wake up from a Linda nightmare. Did you tell Dell about Linda's offer?
Sure. A guy gets that kind of offer, he's got a right to brag about it to his friends.
You're a very strange species.
Back at you, Legs.
The entire experience, the word helped her put the evening in perspective, turned out to be a great deal easier and more enjoyable than she'd expected. But then, she admitted, her expectations had been dead low. It would certainly be more pleasant having a friendly relationship with him as a friend of Dell's, like she had with Jack. Then again, she didn't have this underlying and stubborn spark of attraction to Jack. Still, a spark could be managed until it flickered out, especially since the spark was very likely a reflexive response to a very attractive man who clearly showed interest when she hadn't had the time or inclination for male company in quite a while. She worked out the practicalities in her head as they walked back to his bike. She strapped on the helmet and straddled the bike behind him, and discovered the moment they'd woven their way out of town, riding at night was a whole different thrill. A whole new sense of freedom washed over her. The single headlight slicing down the dark road, the canopy of stars and moon overhead, and the sparkle of them on the black plate of water. Side by side with the thrill rode a sense of ease, of clearing out all those details that crowded her mind. She liked the crowd, she thought, even fed off it, but it had been too long since she'd just emptied out and recharged. Who knew that an evening with Malcolm would push that lever? Reality waited, and she valued her reality, but he'd given her a respite, a little adventure, and a very pleasant break from routine. When they zipped down the long, curving drive to her house, she felt refreshed, content, and very friendly toward Malcolm Cavanaugh. And when he cut the engine, silence rushed in, another lovely sensation. She swung off, pleased with how natural the move had become, and unstrapped her helmet. She handed it to him, then laughed.
I have to say, that's the easiest 100 I've ever won. Same goes.
He walked her to the entrance portico.
So you enjoyed yourself?
I did. Thank you for... With her back against the door and his mouth feasting on hers, the rest of the words tumbled out of her brain. That hard, compelling body pressed to hers as he took her hands, held them in his at her sides, and his teeth incited wild thrills with hungry nips and bites. Trapped, she should have objected, refused, but the sensation of helplessness, a touch of panicked excitement, of being carried off, simply dropped the ground away from under her feet. She fell without any attempt to catch herself, and answered the assault with equal fervor and a reckless greed. The kick of her own heart shocked her back, or nearly. Wait, she managed.
Just give me another minute.
He wanted more. He took more. And so did she. It was that simmering, smoldering heat inside the cool package that had caught him from the jump. Now, as it hit boil, he was happy to have it burn him down to the bone. He held her hands to prevent his own from streaking over that gorgeous body, to make sure he didn't lose control and use them to pull off those classy clothes and get to skin. When he felt that control begin to fray, he lifted his head, but he didn't let her go, didn't step back.
That ought to demonstrate I won't be backing off.
I never said...
We made a deal.
That doesn't mean you can... She paused, and he watched her gather herself, steady herself. Jesus, he admired that. That doesn't mean you can just grab me anytime you want or put your hands all over me when the urge hits.
Didn't grab you,
he pointed out.
And didn't put my hands all over you.
He gave the hands he still held a squeeze to remind her.
Thought about it, though.
Regardless, I'm not going to... Would you please give me some room?
Sure.
Now he let go of her hands, stepped back. I'm not going to tolerate this kind of behavior. You can't just push yourself on me whenever you like.
I might have pushed a little, so guilty.
In the dark, his eyes gleamed like a cat, one on the hunt.
But, honey, you were right in there with me, and I figure you've got the spine to admit it.
She said nothing for a moment. All right, that part may be true, but just because I have a physical reaction to you doesn't mean... What are you smiling at?
You. I just really like the way you talk, especially when you're riding the high horse.
Damn it, you're frustrating.
I probably am. I was going to say I have some kind of thing for you and want to figure out how it works, but we can go with physical reaction if you like that better.
You better understand I take relationships seriously, so if you think I'm just going to jump into bed because...
I didn't ask you to bed.
He watched her eyes smolder and had to order himself not to press her right back against the door again. You're going to stand there and tell me that's not what you want? Not what you intend?
Sure, I want you in bed, or any place that's handy. And I intend to have you, but I'm not in a hurry. You jump in, it takes off the edge. And I like the edge. Plus, it's hard to figure out how something works if you're busy just banging.
It was completely honest, and so damn logical she faltered. This is a ridiculous conversation.
It seems sensible and civilized to me. That's right up your alley. Do you want me to say I think about peeling you out of one of those fancy suits of yours? Finding out what's under it? Getting my hands on what is? About feeling you move under me and over me and being inside you, watching your face when you let go, when I make you let go? I do, Parker. But I'm not in a hurry.
I'm not looking for this. You. This.
Everybody looks for this. You're not looking, or you weren't looking for this with me. I get that loud and clear. But I'm not backing off. Because it's a solid fact we've got a thing. Sorry. A physical reaction. And if you didn't want me to make any moves on it, you'd have shut me down, taken me down. Maybe even enjoyed doing it.
You don't know me as well as you seem to think. He shook his head.
Legs, I've only scratched the surface, and I'm coming back for more.
The argument was not really an argument, she realized, and whatever it was, she was losing it. I'm going in.
Then I'll see you around.
She turned her back, half expecting him to move in again, but when she opened the door, he simply stood back in what she'd have called a gentlemanly manner if she hadn't known better, until she stepped inside, closed the door. She stood there a moment, trying to regain the equilibrium he'd managed to shatter. She heard the engine kick on, rip through the quiet. Which was, she realized, exactly what he'd done. He'd ripped through her quiet. Everything he'd said was true. More, he understood her pretty damn well with that scratch of the surface of his. That was frightening and gratifying at the same time. Nobody, she admitted as she started upstairs. Nobody she didn't consider family knew her all the way through. She wasn't at all sure how she felt about Malcolm getting all the way through, and she wasn't at all sure she'd be able to stop him. Mostly, she thought, she didn't know what the hell to do about him. Chapter 7. Although it had become tradition, Parker would have preferred to skip the sexy breakfast story. But motorcycles had a distinct sound, one Mac had heard clearly while she and Carter had been enjoying some time on their new patio when Parker had ridden off on Malcolm's bike. Mac may have dragged herself into the home gym when Parker was nearly finished and Laurel well on her way, but she had more than her biceps on her mind. And she'd dragged Emma along with her.
I asked Mrs. G for pancakes, Mac announced. I especially like pancakes with a sexy breakfast story.
Who's got one? Laurel demanded.
Parker.
Wait a minute. Laurel whipped around to where Parker stayed a bit longer than necessary in forward fold position. You have an SBS and didn't tell me?
It's nothing, plus we're jammed for the next several days. If it's nothing, where did you and Malcolm go on his bike last night for almost 3 hours? No, don't tell us now.
Mac only smiled, gave an exaggerated wave when Parker straightened.
We need the pancakes.
I don't monitor your comings and goings, Mackenzie.
Oh, don't pull Mackenzie on me.
Mac waved that off, too, and started biceps curls with a Bowflex.
Carter and I heard Mal drive in, and I saw you leave because I was outside. So, yeah, I kept an ear out for you after. You'd have done exactly the same.
Did you have a fight with him?
Emma asked. Are you upset?
No, I'm not upset.
After dabbing her damp face with a towel, Parker walked over to drop it in the hamper.
I just don't have time for pancakes and gossip.
Unless it's one of us in the spotlight? Laurel cocked her head. We share, Parker. It's what we do. If you're pulling back from that about this, it tells me you've got concerns about where it's heading.
It's not that at all.
Yes, it was, she admitted. Yes, it was exactly that.
Fine. Fine. We'll have the pancakes and the rest, but I have a lot of work. We all do. So we'll keep it short.
When she walked out of the room, annoyance in every stride, Emma looked at the others.
Should I go talk to her?
You know she has to stew. Laurel grabbed a towel, swiped her face, her throat. She's a little pissed, but she'll get over it.
You're right about her being unsettled over this thing with Mao.
Mac moved from biceps curls to triceps kickbacks.
If it was no big, she'd have told us, or laughed it off when I brought it up. When's the last time Parker was unsettled over a guy?
That would be over nobody back in Never, Laurel stated.
That would be the who and when. Good thing or bad?
Good, I think.
Since she was there, Emma ordered herself onto the elliptical.
He's nothing like her usual, which would be part of the unsettled, and there's nothing that would have gotten her to go out with him if she didn't want to on some level. Plus, Max said she was wearing jeans and that really cute chocolate brown leather jacket, so she changed her clothes to go with him.
I wasn't spying, Max said quickly. I just saw. I mostly just saw.
Who's saying otherwise? Laurel flicked it away. If I'd heard her go off with him, I'd have done the same thing. Jesus, it's a good thing Dell doesn't know. And let's just keep it that way until we get a better sense of this. I don't want him getting worked up over Mal and Parker the way he did Emma and Jack. Now I've got to go shower and praise Jesus he had an early breakfast meeting. See you downstairs.
I thought she'd get a kick out of it, Mac told Emma when they were alone. I didn't want to upset her.
It's not your fault.
Laurel's right. It's what we do.
It's what they did, Parker reminded herself. By the time she'd showered and dressed for the day, annoyance had tipped over into guilt for snapping back at her friends. She'd made too much of it all, and she'd internalized the entire business, something she admitted she tended to do too easily and too often. So they'd have their tradition, just as they should. They'd have a few laughs, and that would be that. When she walked into the kitchen, Mrs. Grady stood at the counter mixing batter.
Good morning, my girl Parker.
Morning, Mrs. G. I hear we're having pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Grady waited until Parker poured a cup of coffee.
So, will you be getting a tattoo next?
What?
Seems like the next step after riding the roads on a Harley.
Parker didn't have to see Mrs. Grady's tongue to know it was firmly in her cheek. I thought, given what I do, maybe a small heart in a discreet location, maybe with HEA inside it for happy ever after.
Very pretty and appropriate.
She set the batter aside while she prepared a bowl of berries.
We may bump heads over the boy as he's brought me flowers and asked me to go out dancing.
You're enjoying this.
Of course. He reminds me of someone.
Oh?
Parker leaned on the counter.
Who?
I knew a boy with some rough edges, altogether cocksure of himself, and a gilded tongue when he wanted to use it. Handsome as sin and twice as sexy. When he set his eye and his intentions toward a woman, by God, she knew it. I was lucky. I married him.
Oh, Mrs. G, he's not... Is he really like your Charlie?
He's of the type, which isn't a type at all. Pulled himself out of hard times, dealt with the scars from it, pushed himself to make a mark. A little bit of the wild side there, always. With my Charlie, I told myself, oh no, I won't get tangled up with this one. And I said it again, even when I was already tangled up.
The smile warmed her face and went deep into her eyes.
It's hard to resist a bad boy who's a good man. They'll knock the legs right out from under you. I'm grateful every day, however short our time together was, that I didn't resist very long.
It's not like that with me and Mal, it's just...
And that, Parker admitted, was part of the problem. She didn't know what it was.
Whatever it is, you deserve the attention, and to enjoy yourself more than you do. Aside from this.
Mrs. Grady laid her hands on Parker's cheeks, patted them.
which I know you enjoy every minute of, but aside from this. I don't want to enjoy myself into making a mistake.
Oh, I wish you would.
On that, she drew Parker closer and kissed her forehead.
I really wish you would. Go on, sit down and drink your coffee. What you need is a good breakfast and your friends.
Maybe she did, Parker admitted. But after she sat, she took a call from one of the weekend's nervous brides. Since it was second nature to handle someone else's worries or problems, dealing with it settled her.
Emma and Mac will be right down, Laurel announced as she came in. Need any help, Mrs. G? Under control. Hey, nice flowers. My boyfriend sent them to me.
She added a wink. The one Parker's trying to steal away from me.
That slut.
Amused, Laurel got her coffee and walked to the breakfast nook to sit. After our initial business, we can shift to event mode. We could have the meeting here, as I know damn well you have everything to do with tonight's event on your BlackBerry. It'll save you the time you're worried about.
All right. I shouldn't have slapped at Mac.
Knee-jerk. I probably would have done the same, only more so.
But we expect bitchiness from you.
Nice hit. Laughing, she pointed at Parker. I'm not going to say anything to Del for the moment, but
there's nothing to tell, as you'll soon see once everyone's here.
And here they come, prepare to illuminate.
I'm sorry, Parker said, even as Mac sat down.
Water, bridge, bygones.
Eat some fruit, Mrs. Grady insisted, and set the bowl on the table.
I made too big a deal about it.
Obediently, Parker spooned berries into the small, clear dish at her plate.
With all of you and with myself, it's just all so strange, and that's why, and still pretty straightforward.
Why don't you tell us and we'll decide the strange, Laurel suggested, because by stalling, you're making that big deal.
All right, all right. He came by to bring Mrs. G flowers.
Aww,
was Emma's instant reaction.
Since she wasn't here, it seemed awkward not to ask him in while I arranged them and he could leave her a note. Anyway, I wanted to make it clear I wasn't interested.
You asked him in to tell him you didn't want to see him?
Mac put in.
Yes, he's got this habit of moving on me, and I wanted to make it clear. And all right again, I didn't end the move the other night when...
The hot kiss, Emma put in.
It wasn't...
Yes, it was, Parker admitted.
After he had dinner here and I walked him out, he caught me off guard and I responded. That's all there is, I'm human. But particularly since he's a good friend of Del's, I felt I had to make it clear I wasn't interested.
Did he buy that?
Thanks, Mrs. G. Mac dove for the platter of pancakes Mrs. Grady put on the table.
Because if he did, my opinion of his basic intelligence drops several levels.
Apparently he didn't, because he proposed this deal. I'd go out for a ride, a casual dinner, and if I didn't enjoy myself, he'd back off.
And you agreed? Laurel grabbed the syrup. You didn't squash him like a bug or level him with a Parker Brown freeze ray?
Parker lifted her coffee, took a slow sip.
Do you want me to tell this or not?
Proceed, Laurel said with a wave of her hand.
I agreed because it seemed simple, and yes, because I was a little curious. He's Del's friend, and there's no point in having bad feelings. I'd go, then he'd back off. No hard feelings either way. Then, when we got outside, he told me about the bet.
What bet?
Emma demanded. Parker filled them in.
Carter bet?
Mac threw back her head and laughed.
And on, Mal? I love it.
I love it that he told you before you got on the bike. Emma shook her fork.
He had to know it gave you an excuse to flip him off.
And I give him that. And he'll give me, at my insistence, half his winnings. Fair's fair.
Where'd you go?
Emma wondered.
Into Old Greenwich, some little pizza joint.
Nice, actually. And I won't deny it's fun to ride the bike. It's great fun. Or claim it was a painful experience to split a pizza with him. He's an interesting man.
How many calls did you take while you were out? Laurel asked her.
4.
And how did he take that?
Like business is business and go ahead. And yes, points for him. But the thing is, we had a perfectly pleasant evening. Then, the minute we're back at the door, he...
Emma wiggled in her seat.
Here comes the really sexy part.
He just takes over. He has this way of cornering me and my brain shuts off.
He's good at it, and my brain just closes down. It's reflex, she claimed.
Or reaction. Is he all hot and fast or slow and easy? Mac asked.
I'm unaware if he has a slow speed.
Told you. Mac elbowed Emma.
After my brain started working again, I told him I wasn't having it, that he couldn't just grab and go whenever he wanted. And he just looked amused.
Pretty much like the three of you, and you too, Mrs. G, because I can see you over there, are looking now.
Kissed him back, didn't you?
Mrs. Grady pointed out.
Yes, but... So even if he hadn't knocked your legs out from under you, you wouldn't have had one to stand on.
She wanted to sulk, badly, so she shrugged instead. It's just a physical reaction.
I don't know about that, Laurel began. But if it is, I have to say, so what?
I'm not going to get tangled.
She remembered Mrs. Grady's phrase, caught her eyes in that direction, and saw the housekeeper raise her eyebrows.
I'm not going to get involved this way with someone when I feel it could be a mistake, especially when he's a friend of Dell's, of Jack's, of Carter's, especially when I really don't know him well or know that much about him.
Isn't dating someone part of the process of finding out about him?
Emma reached over, laid a hand on Parker's.
You're interested, Parker. It's all over you. You're attracted. And you're nervous about it.
You had fun with him, Parks.
Mac lifted her hands.
Why not have some fun?
He's immune to your back-off cloak and your freeze ray. He doesn't act or react in a way you can predict or control.
Laurel gave Parker's leg a pat under the table.
So you want a reason to say no?
I'm not that shallow.
Not shallow. Nervous about letting him get too close because he could matter more than you bargained for. I think he already does.
I just don't know, and I don't like not knowing.
Then take a little time, Emma said, and find out.
I'll think about it. I will.
How could she not, Parker admitted. And that's all there is of this morning's sexy breakfast story. I appreciate everything, I really do, but we have to switch modes. We're already running behind with a meeting. We have an event to prep for.
Mal installed new motor mounts on a honey of a 62 T-Bird sports roadster. At the customer's directive, he'd all but rebuilt the engine, and when the job was done, all 390 cubic inches would growl down the road like a big, sleek cat. He'd already replaced the brake pads, fixed the cooling system, and refined the three two-barrel Holley carburetors. By his calculations, in a few hours, he'd be taking this big bastard for a test drive.
That's a beauty.
He pulled his head from under the hood to see Dell, lawyer suited up, inside the cavern of the garage.
She is that. 62 M-code,
Mal added.
Bullet sleek. One of about 200 sold back in the day.
Really?
Bitch was pricey. Customer bought this at an auction, had it restored. Rangoon red exterior, two-toned red and white in, white walls, wire wheels. He got a clue after he'd had the exterior and interiors restored that the reason it might be giving him some trouble on the road was the 112 original miles on the engine.
And that's where you came in.
We fix. Take a look.
Sure, as long as I'm not required to know what I'm looking at, or half of what you're talking about.
This baby has the chrome dress-up package.
Dell looked in, saw a big engine, a lot of black, some gleaming chrome, and various parts stamped with Thunderbird. Because he knew his job, he nodded.
So what'll she do? When I'm finished, just about anything you want her to, except kiss you goodnight.
Mal pulled the bandana out of his back pocket, wiped his hands.
Are you having trouble with the Mercedes?
No, I had a breakfast meeting in town, so I swung by after to drop off the papers you asked me to draw up. I can give you about 10 minutes if you want to look them over now, or I can leave them in your office and you can read them when you've got a chance. Call me with any questions.
I've got my hands full here, so I'll read through them later, as long as I'm not required to know what I'm looking at or half of what you're talking about. I'll walk you through it whenever.
With a thoughtful frown, Dell looked under the hood again.
Maybe one of these days you'll walk me through an engine.
Mal's office consisted of a cubbyhole off the garage outfitted with a metal desk, a couple of filing cabinets, and a swivel chair. Dell stepped in, took the file out of his briefcase, and set it on top of the inbox. Mal stuck the rag back in his pocket.
We may want to take that 10 minutes to talk about some personal business.
Sure, what's up?
I took Parker out last night.
After one slow take, Dell shook his head.
You talked her back onto the bike? Did you have a gun?
We made a deal. We'd take a ride, grab some dinner, and when I dropped her back at home, if she hadn't had a good time, I'd back off.
So you...
A faster take this time.
Back off from what?
From her and this thing we've got going.
What thing would that be? They shared that, Mal thought. The instant brown frost.
You really want me to spell that out for you?
And when did this thing start?
For me? About 2 minutes after she first opened her mouth to me, and it's been clicking up some level since. For her? You'd have to ask her yourself. Since she did have a good time, and I won't be backing off, I'm being up front with you.
Just how far has this thing gone?
Mal paused a moment.
You know, Del, I get how you are about Parker, about all of them. Switch the circumstances, I'd probably be the same, so I get it. But I'm not going there with you, not about Parker. If you want to ask her, that's between the two of you. But I'll say this. If you think I'm just after a quick score, you and me, we don't know each other as well as either of us thought. She's my sister, goddammit. If she wasn't, we wouldn't be having this conversation. She's also a beautiful, smart, interesting woman. And she's nobody's pushover. If and when she wants to shake me off, that's what she'll do.
And if she does?
I'll be sorry, because like that car, she's a rare breed. Classy and powerful and fucking gorgeous. And worth a hell of a lot of time and trouble.
Frustration radiating like sunlight, Dell shoved his hand in his pocket.
I don't know what I'm supposed to say about this.
Can't tell you.
Mal shrugged.
By the way, you can pay her my 100. After we made the deal, I figured I should be up front with her. So I told her about the bet in case she wanted to get pissed off and flip me off.
Great. Perfect.
She didn't get pissed. She just wanted a cut of the bet. Jesus, who wouldn't go for a woman who thinks like that? Anyway, it seems fair her take comes from you. I'll collect my share from Jack, and the two of you can settle it with Carter.
I don't know if we're square on this. I have to get my head around it. But I know this. If you screw with her, if you hurt her, I'll kick your ass.
Got that. How about this? If I screw with her, if I hurt her, I'll let you.
Son of a bitch. Read the damn papers.
Without another word, Dell strode off. Could have been worse, Mal considered. Dell could have punched him in the face the way he had Jack over Emma. So he figured he and Dell were one up there. He shrugged it off, then went back to work on the engine, on something he knew absolutely how to fix. Knowing her schedule, Dell made it a point to get home early enough to corner his sister. She had rehearsals and an event, which might have equaled an overfull plate for anyone else, but he knew damn well Parker routinely built in time for emergencies. This, to his way of thinking, qualified. He timed it strategically, arriving at the end of the first rehearsal, while Laurel was busy in her kitchen, Emma and her team already dressing the house for the arrival of the evening's bridal party and before the second rehearsal. Mac, he knew, would be occupied with her camera. He strolled up as Parker waved off the first clients and their party. You're home early?
Yeah, I juggled some things so I could get back and give you all a hand.
We can use it. The next rehearsal's in about 15 minutes, and tonight's bride and party are due in about 30 for hair and makeup. We're on schedule, but...
Good, let's take that 15.
He took her hand to stroll onto the lawn. Should I assume someone saw me with Malcolm last night and reported to you? She smoothed down the line of her suit jacket. We know each other too well, Dell.
I'd have thought. But then I wouldn't have thought you'd be out doing an easy rider.
What does that even mean?
Look it up.
Fine. If you're going to try a lecture on the risks of motorcycles, you have to first provide me with an affidavit stating you haven't ridden on one or driven one within the last 36 months. Okay, he'd bench that argument. To buy a little more time, he took out his wallet, pulled out 100, and passed it to her. Thanks. She folded it, tucked it into her pocket.
Did you go out with him because of the bet?
I went out with him despite the bet.
Since all bets are off, are you planning to go out with him again?
He hasn't asked me, and I haven't decided. She turned her head to give his face a long study. Since you show no signs of